first for many Americans, the United States don't feel very united right now. State governments are passing conflicting laws on abortion, gender and sexuality, guns, and a lot of the other most polarizing issues facing the country. Our next guest says it harkens back to another time in U.S. history before the Constitution was even in place, when the original states that fought in the Revolutionary War were governed by the Articles of Confederation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the differences we're seeing in state laws and policy? Do you see a big, a growing divide between red states and blue states? And where does a state like Wisconsin fit into all of that? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Donald Kettle is a professor emeritus and former dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland. He's a former professor at UW-Madison, and he's the author of the book, The Divided States of America, Why Federalism Doesn't Work. He wrote a recent column for governing.com called, Are We Drifting Back to the America of the Articles of Confederation? Don, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, it is good to be with you and with all my friends there in Wisconsin.
I know you've been thinking about federalism and divisions among states a lot in recent years. What led to this column and looking all the way back to the Articles of Confederation?
You know, I was thinking about where we are and where we seem to be going when it comes to dividing power between Washington and the states, and actually wrote this before Roe v. Wade decision came out from the court last week, and was concerned, though, more broadly about whether or not there's really anything that is truly a national issue these days. Is there anything that we all agree on that we want for the government to do on behalf of all of us, regardless of where we live? And it seemed to me that the answer to that question is getting harder and harder to come by, and it's set up even more by the decision last week by the court, for sure.
Remind us, take us back to the era of the Articles of Confederation that ultimately frustrated people enough that they wrote the Constitution.
Yeah, it's such an amazing story, and it's one that, for the most part, we've forgotten in the course of history since. But after the colonies declared independence from Great Britain, the big question was, okay, now how are they going to govern themselves? And one of the things that happened as we look back over what happened in those days was that the Continental Congress was established and it met in Philadelphia. They decided that they had to have something to be able to govern themselves by. They had a big concern about the one thing they did not want to do is to make sure that they had a king or some kind of ruler as powerful as the king that they were fighting to overthrow. And so they established a system of government called the Articles of Confederation. And it was a loose confederation for sure, with the states still in charge of what was happening. And it took actually 3/4 of the states to get any work done. The big problem was that it got to be hard to get even enough states to show up to vote on anything to be able to get things done. And so we managed to fight and win the Revolutionary War using this, but it didn't last very long afterwards. And it was clear we needed to do something to try to replace it.
The Constitution is what replaced it. It gave more power to the federal government, but not all power. And I know, Don, over the years, from various parties at different times, there's a concern that too much power ended up flowing up to the federal government, and that for one reason or another, maybe it should be pushed back to restored to the states. Where do you see that trend going today?
No, it's the great fundamental issue about American government that is at the core of so much of what we did. It's at the core of what happened with the Civil War. It's the core of what happened with the civil rights battles. It's clear, I think, now that what we see is a strong concern that the federal government, on the part of at least a lot of Americans, has seized too much power with an interest of pushing more of that power back to the states. We saw that in the case of COVID. We saw that in the case of environmental policy and other kinds of issues. But on the other hand, people on the left are concerned that, left to their own devices, the states would push these decisions in the wrong direction and undermine the unity that the United States of America was really aimed at accomplishing. So what we have now, at the very least, is a kind of battle over these issues unlike anything we've seen in at least the last generation. And it's really leading to some deep fractures among the states about the question of where the dividing lines between the federal government and the states ought to be. And a related question, I guess, how much How much division among the states are we prepared to tolerate? To what degree should the states be able to go in completely different directions? That sets itself up for the big debate now on abortion, but it goes back to the issues of COVID and to just about everything else that's fundamental. The big question here at the core is, what are those things that really ought to be national policy, and who ought to decide that? How much power should we allow to the states to try to sort that out in the meantime?
Talking to Don Kettle from the University of Maryland, formerly from the UW-Madison, looking at dividing lines in American politics by party over issues. One state looks more or less and less like another state in many cases, blue state versus red state, as they move farther apart on issues. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions. That's 800-642-1234. How much should states be able to go on their own to decide important issues? How much authority should the federal government have over them? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Don, what do you see driving these really stark divides on so many issues?
In some ways, it's some of the same kind of divides that we've seen throughout American history, and even back to the old days of the Articles of Confederation, and then the days that's really passed that by as we tried to write a constitution of the United States. What's happening now is grave concern that decisions being made in Washington don't match the views of at least some people in some states, and they're calling for more state power to be able to pull the power back to state capitals and use that to prevent the national government, the federal government, from imposing its will on the states along the way. We've seen that back and forth. We fought a civil war over those issues, of course. We had big battles over the issues of civil rights and civil liberties. We had a time when it seemed in the 1960s where we were moving past some of those divisions, but no sooner did it seem clear that those divisions were going past that we began to see big differences popping up again. Things like Medicaid and differences in healthcare. We've seen it in COVID most recently, and now we've seen it on some of these social policy issues that have to do with the core fundamental battles over issues having to do with abortion in particular now.
We're talking to Don Kettle from the University of Maryland, looking at divisions between states in the United States. In a recent piece, he says it's starting to look like the pre-Constitution days. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you see driving these divisions? Do you see ways to bridge them? What are your hopes? What are your fears? Call in at 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation, hear from you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Don Kettle, formerly with UW-Madison, now emeritus professor at University of Maryland. He wrote a recent column about divisions in the United States for governing.com. called "Are We Drifting Back to the America of the Articles of Confederation?" Let's go to your calls at 800-642-1234. Samantha is with us in Menominee. Hi, Samantha.
Hi there.
Hi, what did you want to bring up?
I know the conversation usually tends towards federal versus states' rights in situations like with Roe v. Wade, things like gay marriage, and it seems like it's really just a stand-in for progressive or conservative politics that when Roe is the law of the land, then conservatives would prefer to have state rule. But I'm guessing that pretty soon we're going to start seeing movements toward making abortion illegal nationwide by conservatives, because that's what they would ultimately prefer to have. Same thing with when states were deciding gay marriage. It was pushed by progressives ultimately to become the federal law of the land. We would all prefer to have our policies rule the entire nation. And if we can't get that, then we try to have it be states' rights. So it doesn't really feel like there's all that much that divides us as states. It's just whether or not you're winning.
Interesting. Samantha, thanks a lot for the call. The state versus federal argument, a tool depending on who's making that federal decision. Don, what do you think?
I think that's a great point that Samantha makes, and in particular, the best form of politics is the one where my views win. And so that's the easiest thing to get consensus on. The problem, of course, is that we're dividing ourselves on what it is that we can actually agree on and how we feel about having others make decisions that we don't agree with. It goes deeper, though, I think, than just the winning and the losing, because there are big consequences that flow from the differences among the states. The the rate at which children are taken care of, for example, infant mortality, and then by extension, the kind of care provided to their mothers and maternal mortality, that varies dramatically among the states. And so the big policy difference, the kind of air pollution standards that are kept among the states varies tremendously as well. The death rate from COVID has varied tremendously among the states. And so in part, for sure, when it comes to the politics of who gets to decide, is really a question of whether or not I can find ways of making my own values be the ones that win. But on the other hand, there are big policy implications that come along with making decisions in different ways. And one of the big issues, and it's something that I'm working on right now, is to what degree does giving the abortion decision back to the states then create wide disparities in the ways in which children are taken care of? The abortion rights are going to be dramatically different depending on where you live, but so too are the level of health care provided to kids, provided to their mothers, the kind of life expectancies that come out of that. And so there are not only the big fundamental kinds of issues and debates about who it is who ought to get to be able to rule, but also the question of what kind of policy implications flow from that. And it's those implications that are just as important that we need to pay attention to.
Thanks for that call, Samantha. Jim joins us now in Dubuque. Hi, Jim.
I think the founding fathers were right to form a republic rather than a democracy, because an actual democracy, all it amounts to is 51% of the population being able to take away the rights of the remaining 49. Your government all made an interesting observation in his address at the 125th anniversary of the Nation magazine. That occasionally we make the mistake of trying to think there was, or trying to start a third party in this country, making the mistake to think that there was two parties to begin with.
Jim, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for that call. Don, Jim, bringing up a point I think the founders were thinking about. We want to make sure a majority doesn't impose its will on a minority. I've seen arguments that in the current system, with leans in the Electoral College, Senate representation, and more, that we may be seeing a minority of Americans control the fate of the majority. What do you think of what our caller had to say and those arguments?
Yeah, exactly. As you know, this is precisely the kinds of things that the founders worried about. One of the reasons why they went from the Articles of Confederation, where we had a government that proved incapable of getting anything done, to a constitution where the primary goal was that the people ought to rule, that there really ought to be a democracy, but that there ought to be a republican form of democracy where we would elect representatives who would make decisions on our behalf. But boy, were they worried about the issues that might come up that could divide the country, that the prospects that a majority might be able to impose its will on the minority, that now, as you suggest, Rob, that we may have the reverse case where a minority of the population may be able to impose its will on a majority, because of the way in which the Electoral College is set, by the ways in which, in many cases, state redistricting is defined as well. And so, in many ways, the founders would recognize precisely these questions. I doubt that they would have imagined the kind of politics surrounding the issues of abortion or even gun control as we have it now, even though, of course, they debated the Second Amendment. But they sure would understand the underlying issues here, because they're precisely the same kinds of things that they debated and, in fact, fought over when first they wrote the Articles of Confederation and then decided how, through the Constitution, they ought to try to resolve them.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more quick call from Michael in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. And I will try to condense my rambling point as much as possible. I was just calling in to say, you know, reflect on how much the country has changed since the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution were written. I mean, we've gone from having fewer than 15 states or colonies to 50-plus territories. We have way more people. The geographic area of the country is massive. You know, an average U.S. state is, you know, the same size as or larger than
Michael,
a lot of
Europe. Michael, I gotcha. We just have a few moments left with you. Don, are we bursting at the seams? Is it time for another fundamental review of how we do this stuff?
Well, you know, the biggest problem is that there's nothing wrong with the problems that we face or the system that we've got. that easier problems and more consensus wouldn't solve. As long as we have disputes and differences among ourselves about some of these big things, I don't think there's any system or any kind of structure that could just wipe them away. But we are clearly now entering a new stage where we not only have to try to figure out how to talk with each other, but how to try to govern ourselves collectively and to make sure that our differences don't pull ourselves apart. And this is precisely the kind of thing that the founders worried most about. And it's up to us now to try to carry forward in the kind of traditions and the values that they worked and actually fought so hard to try to establish.
Don, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
It's so great to be with you, Rob.
Donald Kettle is a professor emeritus and former dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland, formerly with UW-Madison, author of the book The Divided States of America, Why Federalism Doesn't Work. He was with us today talking about a recent column he wrote for Governing.com. It's called Are We Drifting Back to the America of the Articles of Confederation? In many states, incarcerated people have copays for health care, but with low income from prison jobs, they sometimes end up choosing between medical services and things like toiletries or phone calls to home. That can impact the health of incarcerated people and their ability to move forward after serving their sentences. Jonah Balekas is a digital content producer at WPR. He's reported about the effects of the copay system inside prisons. WPR's Melissa Ingles talked to him about what he found, including what Wisconsin's policy is and how it changed during the pandemic.
So with some exceptions, Wisconsin charges $7.50 as a copay for a medical visit. So people in prisons can visit the health services unit for all types of reasons, a toothache, chest pains, a broken finger. At the start of the pandemic, the State Department of Corrections suspended medical copays related to COVID-19 or other respiratory symptoms, and that suspension is still in place. But to see how Wisconsin's policy compared nationally, I looked at an analysis from the Prison Policy Initiative, and some states made similar COVID-related suspensions. Some reverted back to their pre-pandemic stance, and 10 states don't charge copays at all, with Illinois and California most recently joining that group.
Interesting. So $7.50 might not seem like a lot of money, but for someone in prison, how much is $7.50?
It's worth keeping in mind how much money people who are incarcerated make from their jobs, whether it's in the kitchen or a laundry unit. People in prisons might only make 10 cents or up to 60 cents per hour.
Wow.
One man I spoke with, Cedric Farley, said 60% of his paycheck went directly to various court costs. That left him making about $8.94 every 2 weeks. And Farley grew up in poverty. He had to be careful with his money. And one medical copay took up nearly 2 weeks worth of work. A 2017 Prison Policy Initiative story estimated how much a minimum wage worker in each state would pay if they were charged at the same rate people in prison are. In Wisconsin, that was about $600. Farley got out of prison about 2 years ago, and he lives in Eau Claire now. He's still paying off court costs, as well as about $200 in medical debt.
Like that perpetuates poverty because it follows you out here into the world. It puts tremendous, you know what I mean? Put tremendous stress and financial stress on your family as well.
So what kind of decisions should people have to make in prison based on what they could afford?
People in prison without means have to decide between paying for medical care and buying some toiletries or paying for phone calls home. Some felt forced to have injuries or illnesses remain untreated. And that's obviously bad from a health perspective, but it's also true that that can often lead to higher costs for treatment down the road, a cost paid for by people who can't afford it or on the taxpayer-funded prisons. Marianne Olson is the Fox Cities organizer for Expo, which stands for Ex-Incarcerated People Organizing. While she had some financial support through her husband, she said she saw other women in prison have to make these kinds of decisions.
That was a difficult, agonizing choice that I don't think anyone in Wisconsin would want their mothers or daughters or sisters having to choose.
Wow, it seems like a lot of trade-offs. I mean, what are the formerly incarcerated people you spoke with think should be done about it?
So I asked everyone what they would like the policy to be. And I certainly had a lot of people say that they don't think there should be medical copays in prisons at all. People applauded the Department of Corrections decision to suspend co-pays for COVID-19 symptoms, but they also said that that move suggested the department had some latitude to make policy changes. I heard that the suspension should be made permanent since the pandemic might not have a clear end date. I heard about getting rid of co-pays for so-called COVID-19 long haulers. And I heard that if co-pays stay the same, wages should go up. I'll add that the department declined to make someone available for an interview. I would have asked them why they have their policy as it is and why they would or would not consider any changes.
All right. So that article available at WPR.org. Jonah Belekas, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's WPR's Jonah Belekas talking to WPR's Melissa Ingalls about prison healthcare policies here in the state.